If that tells you anything about where we're going this morning, I'm going to be ministering this morning out of 2 Corinthians. At least that's what I think right now. Chapter 4. I love all these books. Paul wrote so many things, so many poignant things that are just so applicable to our lives today. They really are. It's amazing that the principles of God are just as real today as they were when they were written, because they deal with the core of who you are. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You have to really work at rejecting God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's so precious to me. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. To always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What he's saying there is the dying, that we're the ones who are now dying. Jesus died for us, and after that, we die for him. Do y'all understand that? You're going to die to just kind of your own ideas. You're going to die to your routine. You're going to die to many things that you just think you have to have. You're going to die to yourself. And I know one morning I was praying, and God said, following Jesus will take you to your death. And I knew what he meant, the death of me. It's not a physical death. It's the death of me. How I even see myself, just the death of the me stuff. How am I doing? How do I look? Am I accepted? Am all those things that are just of this world? Those things will cripple you. They're crippling. They're horrible. You need to reject that stuff as much as possible. The people pleasing. The stuff that people do just so that somebody will think they're wonderful. I only have one I want to think I'm wonderful. And the only reason that would be because of Jesus. The wonderful one. I'm not going to stand before anybody but him. You're not either. So all the people that you're bowing down to make sure that they think you're okay. You know, when it's all said and done, you know what? None of that's going to matter. I mean, none of it. Just one face. Just Jesus. That's all. You're going to stand before him. We're going to stand. I keep this before me all the time. I will literally be before him. What will I say? What excuse will we give then? Now, Jesus is going to love you either way. He loves you. But you'll never love him until you learn to die to yourself. It doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. Actually, it's the most liberating thing you can do for yourself. When you know that God wants you to do something and everybody wants you to do something else, it's so much easier to say no. because you know what God told you. But you're not going to be able to do that until He's Lord and people aren't. It says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. You know, it's really hard to speak about something you really don't believe. It really is. I mean, you might can do it a day or two, maybe every once in a while, but consistently, no. You couldn't do it. Your own heart would just start condemning and barf. Seriously, you just can't do it. You just couldn't be that fake all the time. At some point, you're going to slip up and you're just going to be you again. With your old ideas, your old stuff. Yeah. And there's grace for that too, by the way. You know, it takes a while. Like, Jesus saves us, but that doesn't mean we're perfect. Oh my goodness, I could write a book on how to be imperfect knowing Jesus. You know, but He's the perfect one. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to misjudge some things. Sure you are. And you know what? This is why we're supposed to love each other no matter what. Because that person may have done it to you. Well, how many people have you done it to? You know, we don't ever keep that list, do we? Uh-oh. Okay. Then gone meddling. Knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. I love this. I love this. For we do not preach ourselves. I've been around some people before. I'm sure you have too. And they just brag. They just brag and brag and brag on themselves. That's not a healthy self-esteem. If you have a healthy self-esteem, you know who you are, whether anybody thinks you are or not. You know, you don't have to have everybody's agreement to be who you are. That's not a healthy self-esteem if you have to have that. But I've been around, I remember some of them have been preachers and stuff, and I'm just like, wow. And so I just told them such and such, you know. And I just got out the word, and I just showed them. But there's an anger, there's a me in that. You know what I'm saying? God doesn't want us to be like that. The word, you know, you don't use the word to beat people up. Use the word for conviction, yes. But that's not the same as beating somebody over the head with the Bible. I don't like that. I don't see Jesus doing it, and I don't think that's the way we're supposed to be living our lives. I really don't. But He's saying here that this life that He lives now is really not His own life, but that Christ is now living through Him. Did you know that's exactly what a Christian's supposed to be? That's what Christianity is. And the life that I now live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, Paul said. Now, go over to chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Oh, wow. Well pleasing to Him. Well pleasing to Him. We're to live our life to be well pleasing to Him. Did you catch that? Now, see, the world's not going to tell you that. The world will never say anything like that to you. Live your life to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to the Lord. But this is what a Christian is. I'm trying to help people understand what Christianity is, because our culture today doesn't seem to know what it is. They don't know what that is. You can go to church every Sunday and go straight to hell. You can. And you can live your life like hell and go to church once and get saved and you're fine. See, it's not about, do you understand that good people go to hell? They seem good. They've done good deeds. Maybe they're philanthropist. That type of thing, but they're very giving, you know, showy. Well, you got plenty of money. I mean, you know, a lot of times people who do that, it is for show. It is to give to, a lot of times people say give into charity. I always want to know, what are you giving to? That could be any kind of thing. Giving to charity. No. I want to know where the money's going. Why? Because I'm a steward of the money. When God brings money to you through your job or any other way he gets it to you, you become a steward of that money. Did you know that? We are stewards of the planet. We are stewards of everything God ever made and everything that's here in our lifetime that we can be stewarding. You're a steward of yourself. You are a steward of things that God brings, whatever's in your home, appliances, anything. We are a steward. God is after our heart. God is after our whole heart. I don't see Christianity in the Bible anything different than that. I see that they gave their lives to allow Jesus to live through them to make a difference in this world. And that's why we're still here. Otherwise, when Jesus came, everybody would just be raptured. Came over. You understand? That's not how God designed it. God designed it so that when Jesus died, took my place, my sin, all my sin. You know, when you think about him taking the sin of the whole world, I don't know how his body held up. All that stuff going in his body, I cannot even begin to imagine that. But he took the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Some people think when they confess their sin that they have to confess, you know, like if I forgot something, I might go to hell. Hogwash. Absolute hogwash. It's not true. Jesus saved you. That's a permanent thing. You confess your sin because if it builds up in you, it's going to do damage to you. And you're not going to be a faithful witness. And it hurts your testimony, and it hurts other people that you hurt when you're out there being crazy because you're full of sin. Our sin affects other people. It's selfish to sin. Oh, it's selfish. It's selfish to sin. It is. The world is selfish. Even people who seem like they're, you don't know what's in their heart. See, this is what I love about God. He actually knows our heart. You don't get away with that stuff with God. Why? Because he loves you. Sin is what hurts us. Sin is what's in the way. Sin is what causes horrible marriage relationships. Fighting and screaming and bickering because there's so much selfishness. There's sin involved. It's sin. Sin is a horrible thing. Sin doesn't go to heaven. God hates sin. The Bible says he hates sin. He hates it. He hates it. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you love what God loves and you hate what God hates. God loves people and he hates the sin. He hates the sin. God's going to love people all the way to hell. Did you know that? You say, well, how could he be a loving God and people go to hell? Because they don't want him. Why would he have them stay with him forever when they didn't want to have anything to do with him when they were here? He's simply allowing them the results of their own choice. You're not happy as a Christian when you live in sin. You're not. You're not happy. You can't be. You don't feel clean. And it's because you're not. Don't ever be content with your sin. And don't compare yourself among yourselves. He says you get into error when you do that. The standard isn't other people. The standard is Jesus. The bar is really high, but that's the bar. Will I ever be just like Jesus? Well, my spirit already is. My spirit's just like Jesus. When you're born again, you receive the same spirit of Jesus. That's the only way you can go to heaven. Otherwise, you can't go to heaven because you're a spirit being. And so your spirit had to be reborn. And it says we created in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, you sin would go to heaven. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You would be separated from God. You would be separated from God forever. There had to be a payment for sin. And that was what Jesus did through his blood, through his body, through his death. And then he came up out of the grave. Why? There wasn't anything. There wasn't any sin in him. He went to hell. He took your sin. He did it. And he said, all right, done. And the demon said, whoa. And up he came. I'm glad he did, aren't you? Aren't you so glad he came up out of there and did that for us? But while we're here, there's this thing called persecution. It's very real. If you haven't experienced any of it, then I feel sorry for you, actually. Persecution is when people don't want to be around you very much. Persecution can come in all forms. It's when your family doesn't want to hear what you have to say because you're one of those. A real Christian. A real Christian. You can be a Christian all you want to as long as you don't say anything about Jesus around people. You wouldn't qualify to even be listed in one of his followers. Because everybody, and Paul rebuked people who were slacking off. He said, whoa, 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 there's something y'all didn't quite understand. There's something you didn't understand about this. And it doesn't mean that you're always telling people what to do. Tell yourself what to do. But when you have an opportunity and there's a conversation, everybody's talking about God, you just sit there like a knot. This is your shot. God counts on us. The only way he's here to deal with people is through people. Jesus came to show us how to love. Jesus was incredibly patient. A couple of times he looked at the disciples, He looked at the disciples a couple of times, and that's Andrew Womack. He looked at the disciples, you know, a couple of times, and was just like, literally, I think he was absolutely just perplexed that they couldn't understand. They weren't able to comprehend what he was saying. And he said, don't you remember, you know, I fed the 4,000. Don't you remember we fed the 5,000? So here we are again. I've shown you this. And here we are again. You say, well, we don't know what we're going to do, Master. And the panic all over again. Have you ever done that? Has God ever really come through for you? And then the next thing you go, oh, no. Oh, wow. I don't know what I'm going to do. We're not any different than the disciples. And the life that I now live is Christ. We are to live Jesus. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, the word tells us how. You're going to have to walk in lots of forgiveness. You don't hold things against people. You pray for people when they're mean to you. You pray for people when they've been angry at you for being you. You pray for them. You release people. You always walk in forgiveness. Unforgiveness hurts you. It doesn't hurt them. They don't care. They're going on with what they're going to do. You're kidding me? And then you're stewing in something. And then you go to bed that night and you're still stewing in it. Can you see Jesus doing that? No, I don't see him doing that. He said he went out and spent all night in prayer. He took things to God. He had to be fortified. He had to, you know, he communed with the Father. And everything Jesus did, he did only because his Father told him to. He was very sensitive to doing what God wanted him to do. What the Father wanted him to do. He was very sensitive to that. And I think sometimes we can be more sensitive. Let's be more sensitive to what God wants. Never mind what our day is. Life here is so short. It's so short. Compared to eternity, there isn't anything here that's worth missing heaven over. There isn't anything here. that's worth you standing and wishing that you had crowns to lay at his feet, but you don't have any because you never would say anything to anybody. You wouldn't stand up. You wouldn't talk. You were so afraid of being rejected by a few people here that in 20 years you probably will never see again. I mean, when I was done with college, I mean, most of the people I never saw again. Never saw them again. How many people in your workplace or whatever have you actually stayed with for like 20 years? After work, are you friends anymore? Y'all go hang out together 25 years later? You're still hanging out with those same people? Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. But when you were there on your job, you cared so much about what they thought. Life's short. At best, it's very short. And it's shorter for some people than others. Isn't this exciting? I get excited because I fell in love with Jesus. I just fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with who he is, what he does. I fell in love with how kind, how patient he is. I am in awe of him, that he would allow me to do even what I'm doing right now. I am in awe of that kind of love. I am in awe of that much kindness. I am in awe of his patience and long-suffering with me. And when you really get a revelation of that, you're just beginning to get fortified. You're just beginning to get fortified. What would it take for you to just walk off, you know, just let the, I don't know. There's just all these ungodly influences we're around all the time. Our world is very ungodly. Well, God knew that when Jesus came. The world was ungodly. Of course it was ungodly. The world is still ungodly. He said, but there's some nice people. Yeah, the setting you see them in. You don't know what they are. You don't know what they think when they walk off from you. How many times have you had a thought when you walked off from somebody that you probably wouldn't say to their face? I love you, Bonnie. Yeah. Look in verse. Let's go to verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's your ministry. Every Christian has this ministry of reconciliation to get people where they're reconciled to God. That the thing that separates people from God is taken care of. That means you've got a witness about Jesus. He's the only way that is going to happen for people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is what Jesus said. I'm the only ticket. There are many people, they believe in other gods. They believe all kinds of things. Well, it's interesting to me. People will reject God and then come up with another god. And they commit their time, their money, their effort to this god. It happens all the time. They just trade gods. Why? Because they don't want to be convicted of sin. And you can serve other gods and sin all you want. You have rules, you have regulations, but you can sin. You can be mean too. You can be really mean and serve other gods. But Jesus is a God of love. He says, love your enemies. Oh, other people, they're killing their enemies. You don't agree with them, their religion, they'll kill you. And this is why so many Christians are persecuted. The devil hates Jesus. It's so obvious to me that all over the world, and people will protest all kinds of things. And they don't want to have anything to do with God because they can't live in the sin they want to live in while all these people are talking, because they don't want to feel convicted again. And so if they can just shut everybody up, they won't at least have to deal with conviction anymore of sin. Because they just want to do what they want to do. They want to sin. They want to watch what they want to watch. They want to read what they want to read. Look at whatever pictures they want to look at. They want to do what they want to do. Jesus laid his life down. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to do the same thing. Or you're not really following Jesus. You can't do this without the Holy Ghost. You cannot do this without the Holy Ghost. You cannot do this, what I'm talking about, without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. And even after you receive the Holy Spirit, which is power. The Holy Ghost is power, y'all. The Holy Ghost is your power. That's your power bank right there. But this is your knowledge. Power without knowledge is dangerous. This is your knowledge. This is your roadmap. You need to get into the New Testament and read who you're supposed to be. Read who you are supposed to be. I feel like in the Christian church, there's literally an identity crisis. I mean, what people are believing, it's amazing. They're not sure if it's always God's will to heal. There's a lot of people there. Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. They have these sayings. There's no scripture that says God works in mysterious ways. And if it's not always God's will to heal, then Jesus did a rotten job of showing us who God is. Because, bless his heart, he healed everybody. Everybody who came to him, he healed them. The only people he could not heal, even though he was God in the flesh. Listen, God on foot in the flesh. Jesus was God on foot. And it says he could not heal them because of their unbelief. We are a spirit being. You live out of your spirit, not your intellect. You have to renew your mind to what happened in your spirit to be able to do what I'm talking about doing. Y'all stand up. I want you to understand that God loves you. God can't love you more than he does. God is love, and he loves you. He loves you whether you're going to serve him or not. But you'll love him less and less and less. You'll go the way of the world. You'll have all kinds of things happen in frustrations. And you will never have really peace. You'll never have peace. Because he is the peace that passes all understanding. God is your ticket to peace. And you can't really have peace when you're out there saying, I'm a Christian, but you're serving everything that's unchristian. Everything you know Jesus, when he would talk to you or look at you, you would be convicted about. And you know that. This is not about, does God love you? This is about, do you love God? Do you know he knows? He knows if we really do or not. He knows our secret thoughts. He knows if we're really forgiven. We can say, oh, well, I forgave them to somebody. Oh, I was really believing. You don't know what's in a person's heart. I'm telling you, God never fails. His word is true. It's not wrong to admit you're struggling with something. My goodness. We're not perfect. This is why we repent, which means we change our mind. Once we learn the truth, we can change our mind. God won't change your mind. Your spirit can be born again, and God will not change your mind. He left that, and this is why this book has been so well preserved. It took like 1,500 years just to get it all written. People died so we could have this. It's the most valuable book you own. If I could only take one thing with me and fire anything else, it would be this book. Because through this book, I can get anything else I need. Anything else I need, I can get through the knowledge that's in this book. Mixed with the Spirit of God. The truth you know is what makes you free. Free from what? Well, free from demonic control. Habits you just can't seem to break. Things you keep saying. Feelings you keep having. And you want them to go away. You don't even know who you are without this book. See, your spirit's perfect, but your mind, the moment you got saved, you still had the same brain. So you pretty much think the way you've always thought. 20 years from now, you'll still pretty much be thinking the way you think right now, unless you renew your mind. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit will quicken certain things to you so that now you can apply it to your life. It's almost like he's your highlighter when you're reading your Bible. Read your Bible slowly. Don't read it for routine. Read it to learn. You know, if you're really trying to learn something, you read it a little bit slower. You might even reread that verse. Okay. Amen. Hope this has helped you this morning. I'm trying to bring truth to you because it's the only way people ever get free is the truth. The truth you know is what makes you free. God, I thank you so much for your kindness. I'm so glad you love us. Even when we're struggling with things, even when there's things we have not understood, maybe we've done it all wrong. God, I thank you that you never withdrew your love from us. You are love. And I thank you, God, that you're faithful to tell us again, over and over and over. You're so faithful to do that. Yes, you're repetitive. You are with me. You are with everybody. Because just like Jesus was, over and over and over, he fed the 5,000. Well, then he showed him again. He fed he feeds it and does all this over and over and over. And these are people who walked with him, talked with him, knew his prayer life, never saw him sin, not even once. And they struggled. So God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to empower us and that he sent you to help us understand. So that when we read, we can get this understanding. I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Oh God, that we would be faithful to you. That we would be faithful to you. Always faithful to you. And when we mess up, God, we won't get down on ourselves. We'll just say, well, I blew it. Oh my gosh, I blew that. Well, yeah, every once in a while you're going to blow it. And you just say, God, I'm sorry. I did not represent you the way I needed to. Whatever the situation is. And just repent. And he will forgive you. He will forgive you and he will strengthen you. And he will help you. You don't repent because you think God is going to be angry with you. He always loves you. He's not angry with you. God isn't an angry God. That was dealt with on the cross. He was angry with the devil. He hates the devil and he hates sin. He had everything the devil ever brought to us. But he's not an angry God. He's a God of love. And my message today is from that God of love. He's trying to help us so that we have the quality of our life will be so much better. You'll be happier. You have peace. And it's such a comfort to your family to know if for some reason you didn't make it through the day, for any reason, any crazy thing that happened, they know where you are and they know that you are right with God. If you need that right now, you just need to pray right now. God, I'm just asking. Let's just bow our heads. God, there are people here. They're not right with you. They're not right with you. You had me bring this sermon. You're having me say these things with absolutely no notes. So I know there's something going on here today. Some of you need to repent. You really do. You know you're not, you're out there. I don't know what's happened. Maybe you got discouraged at school or friends or something. Maybe your family situation is not what you want it to be. I don't know what it is for you. I just know God loves you. Oh my goodness. the plan he has for you is so much better than the one you're going to come up with yourself. He created you for certain things that will bring you great joy. He created your mind to operate a certain way. And when you get to do that, you have great joy. Because God is a God of joy and love. He wants you to experience all the wonderful things that He is. Give him something to work with. Be honest with yourself. God is so honest with us. He's so honest with us. He's the best friend you'll ever, ever have. And He's already proven His loyalty to you when He died on that cross. If that's you today, you just need to make that right with God. And you know exactly what that means. Make it right with God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Yeah. Well, it was a little heavy on whatever. But I love y'all very much. Does anybody need prayer this morning for anything before we go? Prayer. Okay. All right. Y'all are good to go. I love y'all very much. Oh, Stephen, I'm sorry. I don't know, Bonnie. We're in a routine here.
I am the Lord your God. There is no other besides me. Let me reign in your heart and in your mind. Let me be the primary voice in your life. Let my word be the foundation of your thoughts. Do not allow anything else to dominate your mind. My word is life. If you want to live a full life, live it out of my word. My word has an answer for every question. My word has a solution for every problem. Do not live out of your own intellect. Live out of my wisdom. Let my Holy Spirit reveal mysteries to you. Allow yourself to be taught by God. I will speak to you in a very personal way, in ways that you can understand, for I desire you to know me intimately. I desire for you to be saturated in my love so that you can share my love with others.
Bingo. And there again, just for our Facebook world, he has no idea what I'm going to preach. If he comes up, gets out his iPad, just starts telling him whatever, and it'll be whatever I'm preaching that morning. Never take this for granted, y'all. I mean, I've never seen this, except here, you know, in different churches I've been in. So it's a sign and wonder. There are more to come. I'm excited just at the thought of more. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful day.